He is risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the fields of Bethlehem, the angels sang about these holy days. The Word became flesh so that he might be pierced, gashed, and killed. And the shepherds ran with joy to see this divine sacrifice. Glory to God in the highest for lifting up this wonderful little lamb on the wood of the cross, and peace on earth to men who are forgiven by God's grace. Where the flesh and blood of Christ is, there we find peace. So the shepherds left that manger rejoicing. The terrified disciples were overjoyed to see the flesh and blood of their God. And we rejoice to come here yet again to be in the presence of our flesh and blood God. He is still Emmanuel, still God with us, flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone. He is united to our flesh and blood forever and always. They cannot be separated. And so it is your God who died for you on that cross and was buried in a tomb. It was the God-man, Jesus Christ, who was raised on that third most glorious day. So how can your salvation be in doubt? How can you ever question or wonder what will happen to you when it is your God who has secured your salvation? It is a real resurrection with Christ's real physical body. The scourge and the cross did their worst. Anguish and sorrow filled his heart, yet his love never faltered. It never failed, never gave in. The nails and the spear made their mark, a sign of God's wrath, of suffering, of death, of man's sin and condemnation. Yet now they are marks of victory, signs of God's eternal love, the sign of your salvation. Glory to God and peace on earth are found in those five holy wounds of Christ. For where the flesh and blood of your God is, there is your peace and your salvation. Jesus lives. Jesus lives. And he is not angry. How truly wonderful this is. It's completely backwards from what we would do. We hate defectors. We disdain traitors. But not our God. The disciples swore their allegiance to him, then they disowned him. Peter denied him. They fled in his hour of need, refusing to help or even make a good and right confession. They were in it only for themselves. How fickle man's hearts. Even after the women told them that Christ had been raised from the dead, they still doubted, they still did not believe, they still were stuck in fear. How hard to believe the words of God. And we are no different. Our hearts are just as fickle, our feelings are just as chaotic. We swear our allegiance to him, and then we disown him by our prideful sin. We shove him out of our minds so that we can have fun for just one night and please our flesh. In the hour of need, do we make a good and right confession? Or are we willing to compromise? And so call our Lord a liar. Like the disciples, we too are confused. We are unsure what we are to do, and so scared at times that we are frozen with fright and can't even do a thing. We're scared of making the wrong decision. We shut down and don't want to do anything at all. Our vocations teeter and nearly topple over, crushing those whom we are called to serve and to love. And yet we just don't want to do it anymore. We want a reprieve. We want a break. We want a vacation, something else, to get away from what God has called us to do. And yet it is God who decides when our life of service is over. It is God who has placed you in your vocation to give and to love and to serve. And so it is God who decides when your work is done. And then in walks this God. Physically, this God comes to you this day. The one who created you and owns you. For you are not your own. It is your God that owns your body. the one who died for you and called you to your vocation and demands that you be perfect even as his Father is perfect, in walks your God. And he is not angry. He is not disappointed. God walked to Adam in the cool of the day. Adam's hiding amongst the trees, terrified. God spoke of life, and yet he also spoke of death. In walks God in the cool of the evening to these hiding, terrified disciples, and he speaks only of life. Death is gone. Christ has made a perfect and full payment for the sins of the world. Death is gone, for Christ lives. And he speaks only of peace and of life. He gives them peace through the forgiveness of sins. He doesn't yell at them. He doesn't ask them why they fled. He doesn't even bring up the topic, nor is he disappointed, nor does he chastise them. But he forgives. He forgives those traitors and those defectors and restores them once again to his kingdom. Even when Thomas failed to believe for an entire week, 8 days later, our beloved Lord came and forgave. For where the flesh and blood of Christ is, there is peace, there is your salvation. Christ is risen not to get back at those who scorned him, but to give failures forgiveness, to give the burden comfort, to give those who got it wrong peace and eternal life, to give you life through the forgiveness of sins. Jesus lives, and he is not angry at you. His heart goes out to you, spilling forth blood and water. It is atonement for all your sins. His words declare you holy and righteous, justified before God. They make you holy and righteous. It's more than you need, but it's what Christ longs to give to you. It's why he took on your flesh and blood in the first place. Why he was laid in a manger and on a wooden cross. Why he suckled at his mother's breast and at that sponge stuck on the stalk of a hyssop plant. Why he allowed his mother to swaddle him and Joseph of Arimathea to swaddle him. The glory is God's, and the peace is yours, now and forever. It's what the angels sang about at Christmas, and yet no longer do they sing. Or I should say, no longer does mankind hear them sing on this earth. For God desired to give this life-saving, eternal, blessed message to the lips of sinful men. It's backwards from what we would do. We would choose the best. God chooses the weak things of this world, sinners like you and me. Through this holy ministry, God gives forgiveness and peace to you. They are the mouth and the hands of Christ, called by the risen Christ and sent by the risen Christ to be a blessing to you. No pastor is equal to this task. No man deserves to be in this holy office. But as I said, the glory is God's, not man's. The peace and forgiveness and salvation and life that they give are God's, not man's. And so it does not depend on man's effort. It depends solely on your God and how good he is for you. And he is the one who has died and risen for you. He chooses the weak and shameful things of this world so that you have to live by faith and not by your sight. You do see a man, but it's not Christ. It's his chosen instrument. You do hear a voice, but it's not Christ's. It is his ordained vessel for you. And yet faith does see those pierced hands lifted up, blessing you and giving you peace. Faith does hear its God and Lord and Savior announcing the forgiveness of sins to you week after week, cleansing you by his holy precious blood. Because this is Christ's ministry, not yours. And it most certainly is not mine. It is Christ, for he alone is your God. He alone is your Savior. The glory is God's. The peace is yours, now and forever. So there is nothing more practical and relevant and beneficial to you than hearing this message of forgiveness and peace. It is the reason why God has given you pastors, so that you may know of forgiveness. It is the reason this very church building exists, to announce that forgiveness. It is why you walk through these doors this day to hear that forgiveness. It is the sole reason and purpose for everything we do, so that God might be glorified and man may know that God is enough and has made a perfect sacrifice. So your physical God comes to you yet again to announce this to you. And those five holy wounds of Christ still shine with all their glory. And those tender eyes of Christ still look down upon you. And yet they do pierce your heart, exposing your sins, your failures, your frustrations, and your shortcomings, but only so that he might wash them all away. And that loving voice of your God and Savior does not yell at you, scold you, discipline you, or show you what to do. But he looks at you and says, "The peace of the Lord be with you always." And then you lift up your eyes and you see his riven body and shed blood with your own two eyes. "My Lord and my God," you echo. "Where the flesh and blood of Christ is, there is your peace. So depart in peace. Go to your various vocations, rejoicing that you have yet again seen your God. Live boldly. Do not fear death. Do not fear sin. Do not fear the devil. Live boldly where God has placed you, and God will cleanse you from your sins. You will fail. You will want to throw in the towel yet again. You will want to give up or desire something else for your life. But do not lose heart. For this fleshy God will come to you yet again to strengthen and restore you. Outwardly you may look good, but inwardly you know you are damaged goods. Do not lose heart. Christ physically comes to forgive. And he gives you that peace through the forgiveness of sins. And you touch him. And your lips taste him. You are forgiven in Christ. He knows what you need. It is not a new program. It is not 10 steps on how to. It is forgiveness. It is life. It is salvation. That and that alone is what you need. He knows your struggles. He knows what you need. And regardless of what you have done, you know exactly what he will say every single time you walk through these doors. There's never a "how could you?" No pause. But he says, "I forgive you." For Christ lives and he is not angry. And where the flesh and blood of Christ is, there is your eternal peace, now and forevermore. Do not overlook that fact. Do not take it for granted. Don't miss it. Christ doesn't have to come here. He does because it's who he is. He comes out of love so that you might be certain that you are reconciled to God and God to you. He is never angry, never disappointed with you, but he loves. He loves to forgive. Even more than 77 times, he will forgive. As often as you sin, he has forgiven. Billions and trillions of times, if necessary, so that you might someday live with him. Christ is risen, and he is not angry. But he lives to forgive you now and forever. He is risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.